I love this verse right here. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become what? A new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. And you see a couple of her friends right there watching her be baptized. And they're enjoying it, not quite as much as she is, because that'd be hard to do. But they're enjoying it quite a bit. And many of you out here do not realize that you are a part of that. Because it's not just one or two people that come into your life and carry you along, but when she came into this church, she started to realize that the family of God, people she doesn't even know because Christ lives in them and Christ loves her also. And some of you did small little things that made a big difference in her realizing that God really loved her. And she gave her heart to Christ and has become a new person. I think it's pretty evident when you see the things that have happened in her heart. And that's what we all want, and what we all want for everyone who's around us. We want them to be born again. We want them to have new life. We want them to become a new person in Christ. So who are we in Christ? I like this little picture because this guy's walking on water. Well, he can't do that, but Christ can do it. And in us, we can walk around and we can walk over those troubles of life. And I like the illustration she said, those rocks can become like pebbles when Christ is lifting us and carrying us through, and our hearts are filled with Christ. So what does it mean to be born again? It means that we have taken Christ into our heart. We have gazed upon his wonder, his beauty. We have seen his love. We have come to him, and we have taken him into our hearts as our Lord and as our Savior. Not just our Lord, but our Savior. Not just our Savior, but our Lord. And he starts to overshadow everything in our life. And if you can see this little man, it says wrath, and it says disorder and turmoil and foolishness and darkness. All of us have all those things because we were born sons of Adam. Adam sinned, and Adam was separated from God, and every person born afterwards is not born with a heart full of Christ, is not born with a mind that understands and sees God clearly, is not born with a burning desire to do what God wants more than anything else in this world, including my own desires and passions. None of us are born that way. All of us are born separated from God. We can't clearly see who he is. Now, people tell us who he is, and we know things about him, but none of us are born with a relationship with God that overshadows everything in our lives. But when we give our hearts to Christ, he comes and lives inside of us, and he starts, as we grow in him, to overshadow everything else. And his desire for us is peace, love, joy. His desire for us is to be able to overcome those natural frustrations and anger and all those things that build up in our lives. But because of our relationship with him and the love that we see in him and the love we see he has for us, that we're able to step over all that and somehow let that love take us over. How many of you remember the first time you had a crush on someone and fell in love? Well, puppy love. How many of you remember back in high school or middle school, or some of you in elementary school, but how many of you remember the first time that you saw someone who just captured your heart, and beyond your understanding, they were captivated by you too? So it was actually a circumstance where you were in love and they were in love with you, and man, I'm telling you what, nothing bothered you then, did it? The presence of their love in your life overshadowed everything that was happening. And that's how it's supposed to be with Christ. That's what being born is again. I love this verse from the New Living Translation in Ephesians 2:10 because it calls us a masterpiece. But we are God's masterpiece. Think about that. All of us can see our flaws if we want to look. All of us know that we're not perfect. Most of us judge ourselves by what we want to be, and most of us are frustrated because we can't be all that we want to be. I'm not playing professional football right now. You know, Arthur is not up on stage commanding millions of people like Michael Jackson. Oh, did you not want to be a professional singer? All of us have dreams, don't we? All of us want those things. Most of us don't get it. When we look at the people who do get it, we realize that it wasn't enough for them. But what is true is that God made Arthur exactly like he wanted Arthur to be for the purpose he had for Arthur. He doesn't need anything else. Every tool, every gift, every talent, everything that God created Arthur to be is in Arthur. And he has created us anew in Christ. In other words, the physical shell that Arthur has with all of those talents and gifts, but no direction from God and no connection from God, can never become what God wants him to be. But when he's born again and Christ lives in his heart and he is overwhelmed and by the love of Christ and compelled to act because of the love of Christ, because he wants to return that love, because he wants to honor God, because he wants to please God, because he wants to read that word for himself and know what God wants him to do, because he wants to do what God wants him to do, then he is able to prove what that good and acceptable will of God was. When he lays down his life like we just sang, when he gives himself as a living sacrifice, which is what God wants you to do, then he finds out that he was made a masterpiece. And he's not comparing himself to other people or to what his heart would like himself to be in the world. He's comparing himself to how close am I to what God wants me to be. And as he grows closer and closer, that's a wonderful feeling, isn't it? God has created us anew in Christ Jesus. He has created us that way. You don't get born again and God remakes you. You get born again and God completes you. You get born again and God directs you. You get born again and God develops you. You may have made a lot of mistakes, but you get born again and God redeems you. He takes you and he makes you the masterpiece that he wanted you to be. He already put everything inside of you that's necessary. All you have to do is let your life be in his hands so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You know, when we're separated from God, we're not even interested in seeking to find out the reasons God put us on this earth. We're not searching to find out why God gave me the weaknesses and the strengths he did. Why did God make me the way I am? Where do I fit into God's plan? How can he change this world around me? How can I impact this world with the love of Christ? What is the purpose for my life? We're not searching for those things. We're searching for the things that glorify us, not the things that glorify God. We're searching for the things that please us, not the things that please God. And we love ourselves, not God. But when we see and Christ is revealed to us and we give our hearts to him and we start experiencing and growing in that love, it's like a bowling ball rolling downhill. It gathers steam and our love for him grows and our desire to find out what God created us for starts to become a burning desire in our heart, and we start to see that there is nothing that we cannot do in Christ. Nothing. Because everything Christ wants us to do, we're perfect for it. And he makes us and molds us into that. I like this cartoon. It says here on your resume that you were created in God's image. That's very impressive. That's the kind of confidence all of us should have in life. And it's not confidence in ourselves, it's confidence in the fact that God didn't make a mistake when he made us. He knew exactly what he was doing, he made us exactly how he wanted us to be, and his plan for us is great. And so we should anticipate life with enthusiasm and excitement as God unfolds the perfect plan he has for us, which is good. And he is working all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, because we are called according to his purpose. And we love him and we follow him. And so the path he opens for us, in which he's going to glorify himself through us, we're looking for. And we're following. And the emotions of love, peace, and joy, as you just heard expressed, it follows that commitment. I love this verse in Colossians 2:10. It says, you are also complete through your union with Christ. What's really interesting is before people give their hearts to Christ, before the Spirit of Christ lives in them, most of the time they're unaware that they're incomplete. Now, there are moments in time where they start to realize that, and that's because Ecclesiastes tells us that God has put eternity where? He's put eternity in our hearts. There's something deep down inside of us that knows that without Christ and without being the person he created us to be, without finding the place in the universe that he made us to fit into, without being able to experience his love and experience his love flowing through us the way he wants it to be, that there's always something missing. It's never enough. Now, most of us, what we try to do is get our lives moving fast enough that we don't have those points in time where we're still enough to be able to realize something is missing. That's why the Bible tells us, be still and what? Be still and know God, right? Well, most of us don't want to be still if we're moving quickly without Christ, because when we're still, we start to have that gnawing feeling inside of us. But once we grow close to Christ, we want to be still because it's affirming. It's exciting. And we're made complete through Christ. I had this example, I don't know, a couple of years ago, and somebody in here, well, a couple in here said, man, that was such a great example. And as I was thinking this, I started again. But in 2005, they did an interview with Tom Brady right after he won his third Super Bowl. Boy, he's gone way beyond that now, hadn't he? But at that time, they thought he had accomplished everything anybody would ever accomplish. And Steve Croft interviewed him and said, and Brady said, why do I have three Super Bowl rings and still think there's got to be something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life. And he just shakes his head and he says, me? I think, God, there's got to be more than this. And he's not praying when he says that. What's interesting is that the world has no idea what he's talking about either. Steve Croft, at the top of his profession, feels the same way. And he asks him this, what's the answer? And you know what his answer is? I wish I knew. I wish I knew. Eternity is in the hearts of people. Without Christ, they cannot see it. All they can see if they slow down is that what I was made for and what deep in my heart I think I want to experience in life, no matter what I do or how much I push myself or how much I get, I can't find it. And we sing it all the time, that Christ is enough for what? As a matter of fact, he's all we need. With him, we become complete. Everything makes sense, and everything into our life is a blessing that God gives us and enables us to be a part of. And we walk with him, and our lives are filled with joy. We are unafraid and at peace. And we are able to love, which makes our lives good. Without Christ, we move quickly. Or we sit and say, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. What does it take to worship God with a full heart of love, peace, and joy? If you look at this guy's face, you can see somebody who does. Many of us have gone places through the world and we have seen people. What does it take to worship God with a heart full of joy and to just be so grateful for what God is doing and how you are able to serve him and experience the fullness of life he gave you? Does it take a hospital that's a tent? Many of us, if we went to a hospital that was makeshift with a dirt floor like this, would not have this smile on our face. But God is present in this tent. Does it take good food and a lot of it? Many of us could not walk through this line and just be grateful for what God had given us and not think about the strains of everyday life, because the purpose He has in us being there and serving and loving others is so much greater. If I go without a meal today and someone else eats, that's okay. If I don't get steak but I get rice, that's okay. Being here and seeing God work is enough. Does it take being able to be inside and comfort and an air conditioning? Or is it simply the call to pray for the people that God brings into your life? It's just realizing that these kids, that many of them have no homes and no place to go, have found that love and reach out to God and want you to pray for them and want to see what God might have for their lives. Is that enough joy that the circumstances around you don't matter? Is it all right if that's your church, where you can reach your hand through and shake the hand of a visitor? They don't even have to come in. Where it's hot and it's dusty, but the presence and power of God is alive. Can you worship God if this is your house? Can you be thankful for what He's given you, because He's placed you right next door to your neighbor who has less than you? And you can bring the love and the hope of Christ into their lives. And in whatever situation they're in, you're glad to be there because you can make a difference because Christ is there. Would you be happy to come and to worship in a place, and I don't know if you can see it from there, but these Christians are all in a Muslim community and they have come out of their homes, and the people who are lined up around those doors are all there like this, and they're taking names. And being in this crowd and worshiping God, that you have found most of these people during the day, is dangerous. And yet you want to stand for Christ that others in the community might come and find Christ, because you know the purpose that God has for you. And it brings you great joy. And it takes the fear away. Romans 8:37 tells us this: we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's who we are in Christ. When we see God's love, and when we're surrounded with God's love, and we realize that God's love may take us, maybe Jesus was serious when He said, you can't follow me if you don't what? Pick up your cross. Maybe when we pick up our cross and we follow Him through some difficult times, we are amazed at the power and the glory and the goodness of God and what He can do in what we think are the worst situations, simply because we believe in His love and we are willing to act on His love. We will follow Him and He reveals Himself to us. And all of a sudden, we're walking on water. All of a sudden, we are conquerors. We can go to a place where the house is not that great, or where there's not that much food, or where the medical attention is not that great. We can be in our life circumstances where things don't work out the way we want it to, but it doesn't conquer us. It doesn't make us bitter. It doesn't make us angry. It doesn't make us the kind of people who can't love because we're so consumed with why we didn't get what we should have had. We can rise above all that and love with the unconditional love of Christ. We can hope with faith in God because we know He loves us. We know He has a purpose, and we know wherever we are and whatever we do, and whatever circumstance God puts us in, He has already equipped us with everything that needs to be there to change the situation for Christ. God has already spoken. You are the answer. You're the answer. His Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and all of God's love is shed abroad in our hearts. And as we open our hearts to Him and focus on Him and discover that love, we see the true power of that love. We catch a glimpse on that cross. But that cross needs to be real to each one of us. It's not enough just for us to see it and understand and make a statement about what Christ dying for me meant. God wants us to experience that. He wants that to become such a part of our lives that the understanding of what He did on that cross and His love for us starts to overshadow everything else. Every circumstance, every desire, everything that we have pales in comparison to the love of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? God, who began a good work within you, will continue His work until it's finally finished. Isn't that a wonderful thought? God is never finished with us. As we follow Him, He takes us through everything that life throws at us and makes us stronger and wiser and more able to be patient and compassionate in difficult situations. God grows us. He is always working in our lives. And just like Judy, who didn't come to Christ till she's 75, has a brand new life that just what? It started. And she is so excited about what's in the future because God has opened her eyes to how great it will be. Well, I'm going to ask you just to stand with me and we're going to pray. I'll let the band come forward. And afterwards, we're just going to sing a song of praise. But this is just a moment for you to be still and to let God speak in your heart. So let's pray. Father, right now we do just want to clear away everything and just let You speak to our hearts. And Father, we desire to have what You promised us. And You promised us that if we follow You, that if we believe in You, if we cling to You, if we give our hearts and our lives to You and embrace You, You will embrace us. If we accept You, You will accept us. And You will fill our hearts with Your love, with Your peace and Your joy. And we don't have to have our hearts troubled because You don't give as the world gives and then later takes away. But You give us the good gifts that You intend us to have for eternity. There is no real life outside of Christ. No one comes to You except through Christ. Because no one can understand Your heart without seeing what Christ did on that cross. Your love is so enormous that we could never understand it. But when we see it, we want to run to it. And so, Father, right now, I give myself to You and I ask You to make me everything You created me to be. I want to experience all of life walking with You. Forgive me for every time that I've pushed You away and ran ahead. For everything that I've said out of my own desires and ambition. Everything I've done that was manipulative or that was self-centered. Forgive me, Lord. And fill me with Your love and enable me to be that person that You desired when You created me. Let Your Holy Spirit bring that new life in Christ to full fruition in my heart. And we love You, and we need You, and we ask You to take our hearts. In Christ's name we pray, amen.